David Gillespie. He likes a good crusade. Former lawyer from Brisbane has written best-selling books warning about everything from sugar to psychopaths to the dangers of teen screen addiction. In fact, that was my last conversation with them. That one's worth looking up. In 2013, David wrote a book about the health risks of certain oils, oils that are in almost all processed food. He says that research shows oils like canola and sunflower make you vulnerable to cancer. His strong stand against seed oil has gotten pushback from some, including the Australian Heart Foundation and other nutrition experts, who urge a more holistic approach to eating, not focusing on one ingredient. But David says he feels compelled to share what he's learned. His updated book is called The Good Fat Guide, and he joins us now from Brisbane. Hi, David.
G'day, Jesse.
Nice to talk to you again. I reckon of all the books you've done, this is probably the one that's stirred the most controversy. Would that be true?
I'd say so. It's the only one that the Heart Foundation put out a press release on before it was released, warning people not to buy it. So I guess that's the most controversial I've ever gotten.
Yeah. Why update it?
Simply because for two reasons. One, products change a lot, and our labelling laws are not up to scratch when it comes to telling us what kind of fat is in a product. A manufacturer can simply get away with saying vegetable oil on the label, tell us nothing about how much polyunsaturated fat, which is the critical component of it, and in particular omega-6 fat, is in the product, tell us nothing about what exactly the vegetable oil is so that we could figure it out ourselves, because there is a huge range in those numbers based on what it is, and tell us nothing about exactly how much of it is in there. So you have to do a lot of research and a lot of mathematics to figure out what's in common products. So as part of what I do in that book, I do that work on all of the things that a person is likely to find in the average supermarket, and I come up with lists of the best products, that is the ones with the lowest levels of what I consider to be what the research shows is the dangerous component of the product, which is this omega-6 fat. The other reason that the book needed updating is that there has been some significant human research has been released since the first book came out, which backs up the position that the first book took in relation to several of the major disease groups.
Can you talk us through the four types of fat?
Sure. Okay. So, all fats, whatever their source, whether they come from animals or plants or whatever, including humans as a source of fat, not that we're eating them, but as animals, we have fat that is dominated by saturated and monounsaturated fat. So that is fat which is fully saturated with hydrogen. That's what saturated means, which means that there are no open chemical links for oxygen to attack and attach to. And so these are fats which are very, very hard to oxidize. They're very stable and solid. And these fats are often solid at room temperature. So fats which are dominated by saturated fats are things like animal fats, you know, lard, beef fat, all of that kind of thing, which you know is solid at room temperature. It doesn't oxidize well. It doesn't go off quickly. So it's very, very stable. The next step up from there is monounsaturated, which has one free hydrogen link in the fat, and it oxidizes a little, but not much. Animals make their fat out of mostly saturated and monounsaturated because they burn oxygen to live, and so they need a body built out of fat that doesn't react with oxygen. Then there is the last category of fat, which is what's called polyunsaturated, which divides into omega-3 polyunsaturated and omega-6 polyunsaturated are the two major groups. Omega-3 we've all heard of. People tell us to take omega-3 capsules all the time, fish oil, etc. And then omega-6 is sort of its evil cousin because it is the pro-inflammatory pairing to omega-3's anti-inflammatory polyunsaturated fat. Plants are dominated by this type of fat, which is often liquid at room temperature. What we've done in the last 100 years is replace all of the sources of fat which are dominated by saturated and monounsaturated, so the stable types of fat, which come predominantly from animals or some fruits like olives and coconuts, and replace them with fats dominated by those extracted from seeds, which are high in the omega-3 and in particular the omega-6 polyunsaturated fats.
Yes, it takes a bit of keeping up with, but I think I'm there with you. I think the most, I suppose, counterintuitive part of your theory is that vegetable oils sounds pretty good, right? Vegetables are good for you. Yeah. We've just moved away from things like lard and you know, people feel like they're doing the right thing if they pick up, say, rice bran oil in the supermarket, and you're telling us it's actually worse for you.
No, well, it's not that it's worse for you. It's very, very bad for you, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with animal fats. So we've been given a giant con about this. I mean, for the entirety of human evolution, up until about the 1890s, all we ate was animal fat. Every fat in our diet came from animals. You could look at the human diet in the 1890s, it would be 90-95% animal fat. You look at the human diet just 100 years later, and it's 80-95% seed oils. Now, I call them seed oils, not vegetable oils, because I think vegetable oils is misleading. It suggests that they come from vegetables, which they don't. No vegetables were harmed in the creation of vegetable oil. You don't get fat from vegetables. Where you get that kind of fat from is from chemical extraction from seeds. And up until the 1890s, these seeds were waste products. So the first one that they managed to do this with is cottonseed. Obviously, they make cotton plants to get the cotton, and they threw away the seed. And then they discovered that if you apply enough pressure and heat to those seeds, you can extract fat from it. And even better, that fat can be used in food, and no one can tell the difference. But it is much, much cheaper. And that spawned an industry which has resulted in, over the last 100 years, almost all of our fat supply being replaced, all the animal fat taken out and all the seed oils put in, because they're much cheaper.
And also in that 100 years, you point out there's been a big spike in new diseases or a new prevalence of old diseases.
Yeah, well, so it seems somewhat insane to blame modern disease on ancient food, which is exactly the message we've been given. We are expected to believe that the food that did not cause this disease for the entirety of human evolution up until the turn of the 20th century, it didn't cause it, even though it was what we were eating every day, suddenly is responsible for an epidemic of chronic disease like heart disease and cancer that occurred during the 20th century. A more logical approach, standing back from it, would be, what did we change in the 20th century? Answer, the fat source. And therefore, that's likely to be the culprit.
Giles, one of our listeners who sounds like a sensible, educated person, has asked me to ask you to comment on the fact that research supporting the consumption of animal products, including fats, is often funded by the meat industry. He says he's not suggesting that you are biased, but he does worry that there's a suggestion or an appearance of bias if that's the research that's being proffered.
I always like to look at the source of funding for everything that is published in nutrition, because industry always has its oar in. So you could equally say that the funding for science that says that eating vegetable oils is funded ultimately by the seed oil industry, and it often is, or even worse, funded by the sugar industry, who just want you looking everywhere but at sugar. That's always a concern, and I agree that that's number one thing to look at in terms of the source of information. But the research that I'm referring to, and which I cite in my books, particularly the most recent research, is research funded by the United States government. Massive human trials funded by the United States government in the 1960s and 70s. They were not trying to find out that seed oils were bad. But coincidentally, that's exactly what they managed, because this research was targeted at the other side of the myth. This was research that you would never get funding for today, because it would cost far too much. But in the 60s and 70s, with a president dying of a heart attack, this research was done. Large human trials. And what they were trying to prove is that when you took animal fat out of human diets and replaced it with seed oils, which was the recommended advice then and all the way up until now, you would prevent heart disease. Not only did that research show that it didn't prevent heart disease, actual death from heart disease and other causes increased substantially. What the research showed was that while the predicted reduction in cholesterol occurred, which was fabulous, death from heart disease significantly increased. And that's an endpoint I think people would care about more than whether or not their cholesterol was low or high. So those are major human trials funded by the US government, which, when they produced those results in the 70s, were not published. The only reason we know about them now is because the National Institutes of Health and a particularly concerned scientist by the name of Christopher Ramsden at the National Institutes of Health went back and asked this question, which is, what happened to these studies? We spent a fortune on this question. Where are the results? He found them in the National Institutes of Health archives, republished them in the British Medical Journal, and those studies are not paid for by the meat industry or anyone else, and they show exactly what I'm talking about.
Some of the oils that are the targets of your book are the ones that we thought we were meant to be eating. Like if you go to a fish and chip shop, they will often proudly say our chips are cooked in canola oil or sunflower oil.
Absolutely.
Why would those oils be so bad for our bodies?
Yeah, so the reason that they're bad for us, it's multifaceted, but it's a lot of things. But let's start with, in particular, the oil that I'm talking about, which is the omega-6 polyunsaturated fat. So what we've done with the human diet over the course of that 100 years is we've gone from consuming about what we need of omega-3 and omega-6, which is about 2 grams a day of each, so about a teaspoon's worth combined, to now, we still consume about 2 grams of omega-3 oil a day, which we just get from eating food normally, but we now consume up to 40 grams a day of omega-6 oil. Now, that omega-6 oil is highly problematic in the way our body is put together. It is absorbed into the cell membrane of every cell in our body. It oxidizes very, very easily. It produces highly carcinogenic end products when it reacts with oxygen. It interferes with the construction of our DNA. It is really, really bad news inside the human body when it reacts with oxygen. It's even worse news when it's heated outside the human body and we inhale it. Exactly the same carcinogens which come from cigarette smoke come from this stuff. So when a teenager is standing over a vat of oil at the local fish and chip shop or the local chain, and all of them now cook in these oils and breathing in that vapor, they're actually breathing in what we know to be extremely dangerous carcinogens. So the evidence on this is from large-scale human trials. I just want to reiterate that this is not guesswork. This is large-scale human trials that have proven that these things double the rate of cancer. We now know the mechanism of that, which is that these omega-6 fats get incorporated into cell membranes. The other way that these things affect us, the other disease vector, is in the inflammation state. So remember I said before, omega-3 fats are anti-inflammatory and omega-6 fats are pro-inflammatory. You load the diet with pro-inflammatory fats, and what will happen is that you massively increase autoimmune diseases or any other diseases of the immune system, which is why, for example, we've seen in the last 10 years in Australia increases in the rate of anaphylaxis, so, you know, life-threatening allergies in children, they have increased fivefold in a 10-year period. That is extreme and unprecedented anywhere in human health or medical history. We are seeing very, very rapid increases in autoimmune diseases because we are loading our diet with something that promotes that side of the immune system.
Back to Giles, our correspondent, who would like to you to comment on what he says, the growing body of evidence that suggests that animal-based proteins are a significant health risk associated with chronic inflammation, the same problem.
Well,
and several forms of cancer.
I've had a look at that evidence, and like most nutrition evidence, it is really just epidemiology, that is, statistical associations. It doesn't provide a mechanism for how that could occur. It just says people who eat this way tend to have these health outcomes. It's the lowest form of evidence in nutrition, but it is what all of our nutritional advice has been based on for the last 40 years. What I'm more interested in is when you get down to actual human trials, case-controlled trials, or randomized controlled trials that show when we swap that in the diet with that in the diet for this group and compare it to exactly the same group, what happens. And that level of evidence says that we should not, under any circumstances, be increasing our consumption of these seed oils, and we should, in fact, be massively decreasing.
I should put to you another couple of objections. Someone called David Driscoll says you're cherry-picking, taking little bits of quotes out of studies and, in many cases, misrepresenting the entire findings of the study.
Well, David is well known to me. He has said that sort of thing since Sweet Poison, my first book about sugar, came out. And I've got to say that now that all health authorities around the world are saying exactly the same thing as what was in Sweet Poison, I'd suggest that he's the one cherry-picking.
Kate says, what the heck am I hearing? My child works at a chip shop. Why hasn't the government done something about this? You actually are worried about people who work around oils, right?
I am very worried about it, because what we're seeing at the moment is significant increases in cancer, particularly lung cancer, in people who have never smoked. So some very large human trials, particularly out of Asia, where canola oil is now often used in high heat environments like woks and so on, rather than the traditional oils. Those studies are showing significant increases in lung cancer, particularly in women who have never smoked. And I think it's a significant concern, because there are studies showing how that mechanism would work. So exactly what is being produced by heating these oils and how inhaling it would cause lung cancer.
Let's spend a couple of minutes talking about which oils are okay to eat. Can you give us a little list?
Sure. Okay. So all animal fats are fine. Okay. But if you don't want to eat animal products, that's fine too. There are vegetable products or non-animal products that you can consume. So fruit oils are fine too. So olive oil is a fruit oil. So is coconut oil. So is palm kernel oil. So they're all fruit oils, and they're perfectly fine. The reason they're fine is that they have a fat profile which is very, very similar to animal fat, which is in that they're dominated by saturated and monounsaturated fats and have very low levels of omega-6. So those fats are all perfectly fine. There's only one nut oil which I would suggest falls into the category of being okay, and that's macadamia nut oil, which has a fat profile very similar to animal fat. The palm oil is fine. It has a fat profile similar to animal fat. The only problem with that is that most of it is not sustainably sourced, and you're endangering orangutan habitat by purchasing it. So until it is sustainably sourced, I wouldn't be recommending people purchase that. But from a nutrition perspective, it's fine. And pretty much everything else is out. So, all the common things that you'd know, like canola oil, sunflower oil, soybean oil, rice bran oil, all of those things are seed oils, and they're all very high in omega-6 fat.
Okay, and then, I mean, I'm picturing sort of myself hovering over the fry pan at home trying to decide what to pour in, but in fact probably most of my oil consumption will be from takeaways and processed food, right?
As it would for most of us. So it's like with sugar. When I decided to stop eating sugar, I thought, oh, this will be easy. I don't add it to my tea or my coffee. I don't put it on my breakfast cereal. But I didn't realize I was having 40 teaspoons of sugar from Heart Foundation approved breakfast cereals that were 30% sugar, and yogurts that had sugar added to them, and so on. So it's the fat that's used in the processed food that is more likely to be the primary source. But if you want to think about what you would use in the fry pan at home, nothing wrong with olive oil, of course, if you don't want to use animal fat. Depends on the heat. You could use butter. If it starts to smoke, turn it down, switch to a fat that's got a higher smoke point, such as something like a light olive oil, which is a refined olive oil, or something like coconut oil, which has a higher smoke point.
Okay, but you do need to worry a bit about the stuff you're eating. You've said, this is actually part of your book I found toughest, no mayonnaise.
Well, no, you can have mayonnaise, but you're just going to have to make it yourself. Mayonnaise is olive oil and egg. It's a magical thing. When you blend an olive oil, egg and olive oil, you get mayonnaise. The trouble is that the stuff that's on the supermarket shelves isn't made with olive oil. It's made with its much cheaper cousin, sunflower oil. So anything that any commercial mayonnaise available in supermarkets today is going to be made with sunflower oil, not olive oil. And even if they have little pictures of olives on the front, all they've probably done is put a little bit of olive oil in for flavour, because it's just too expensive to make mayonnaise on a commercial scale at a competitive price out of olive oil. So they don't. They make it out of sunflower oil, and you can't tell the difference by taste, but your body can definitely tell the difference because there's much higher omega-6 content.
Very good, David, and we really appreciate the time that you've given us today. The book is called The Good Fat Guide. There's also a role that sugar plays as well, which we haven't got into today, but it's all in his book. And thanks for putting your brain to this one, and you've given us plenty to think about. Thanks so much.
No worries.
That's David Gillespie, author of The Good Fat Guide.